And we're in a series right now called It Is Written. This series is to challenge us to make the Word of God a part of our lives every day. It is not something, you know, we just once in a while, but every day it needs to be a part of our lives. It shows us how to live, how to navigate through life. You know, last week we talked about how important it is that we obey the Lord and how that it brings blessings in our life. Jesus said in Luke 11, 28, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. That kind of goes against the grain of some of the religious culture in America, but we need to hear it. If we want to be blessed, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Obey the Lord. Any sincere believer wants to obey the Lord. And if somebody that claims to be a believer cares nothing about obeying the Lord, you gotta wonder how sincere their faith is. So yes, if we're sincere about God and about serving the Lord, we want to obey the Lord, but here's the thing, we all fail sometimes. We all mess up. I mean, sometimes we end up doing things that we didn't really plan to do. We know we're wrong, and yet somehow we fall into that temptation. And a lot of the time, it's not necessarily one of the things you shouldn't do. You know, some people think they're real spiritual as long as they don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. But one of the greatest sins of them is the sin of omission, where we know there are things that we should do, and yet somehow we end up not doing those things. Here's the point. All of us have to deal with temptation. So I want to talk to you this morning about overcoming temptation. You know, we all deal with this from the time we're little kids. I mean, when you're little, it might be the cookie jar. Mom said, leave the cookie jar alone, but it's like it's calling your name. We get a little older, maybe it's the opposite sex, or maybe it's that desire for more things, and you do something a little shady or something wrong to try to get ahead or to have a little more. Maybe it's that temptation to criticize others and talk about others and put others down. Maybe it's just, you know, we all deal with this when it's pride. Maybe it's lust. Maybe it's gossip. Maybe it's wanting revenge on somebody. All kinds of temptations, you see, they come in a thousand different ways. And yet, the enemy of our soul, Satan, the tempter, he will design some, tailor make some, just for you. Jesus said in John 10 and 10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. This is what Satan wants to do in our lives. He says, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. He wants to give us a blessed life. Life overflowing with life, the best kind of life. But we have an adversary who is always looking for the opportunity to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to keep us from the blessings that God intends for us. He wants to keep us from the plan and purpose of God for our life, things that God wants us to do. Ultimately, he wants to destroy us. And a lot of the time, he brings destruction into people's lives through their disobedience. It's been going on a really, really long time. It started in the garden when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. So many lives are destroyed because of disobedience. So many lives are harmed, damaged because of disobedience. So we can't be complacent or comfortable or compromising when it comes to obedience. We need to decide, I want to overcome temptation. Yes. Yes. You see, it needs to be something that burns in us as we call Jesus our Lord. We give him our whole heart and we say, you can have it all. that we really mean it, that we want to live the way he wants us to. We're not going to compromise. We're going to overcome temptation. In John chapter 8, Jesus forgives a woman who was caught in adultery. He says, "Neither do I condemn you." But then he also says, "Go and leave your life of sin." Yes, Jesus forgives us, but he also calls us and commands us to leave our sin. A couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about a man who had had an infirmity for 38 years. And Jesus heals this man. What a wonderful miracle. But we didn't really go on in the story. Just a little bit later, Jesus finds the man again, and he tells him this, John 5:14, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you." A worse thing than an infirmity for 38 years? Sin no more, lest a worse thing comes upon you. Now that doesn't fit with a lot of people's theology. But I have to tell you that what Jesus says is always right. What Jesus says is always truth. He is the truth. And if he says, sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you. You see, we need to take sin seriously. We need to take overcoming temptation seriously. We can't make compromises. We can't just say, well, it's okay, no big deal, because, you know, we just put it under the blood. Yes, we put it under the blood, but then he says, go and sin no more. Amen. We got to leave that sin behind. Here's the good news. We can overcome temptation. Jesus did, and so can we. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." Before Jesus even begins his ministry, the Spirit leads him into the wilderness to be tempted, and he overcame. And he wants us to overcome temptation. He's our example. Jesus taught us to pray this way in the Lord's Prayer, "Lead us not into temptation." And yet here in this passage, we see that the Holy Spirit was leading him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. But he was tempted to prove that he was not going to sin. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus had to be that perfect, spotless Lamb of God. And the Father knew, in the foreknowledge of God, he knew that the one, the Word, who was in the beginning with God, who was God, the Word who was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Father knew that he would not sin. But he had to go through that temptation. And here's what I want you to understand. You see, the Father also knew that he would not sin. And so you need to know this. If Jesus had sinned, all would have been lost. If Jesus had sinned, there would be no sacrifice that could pay the price for our sins. All the blood of goats and lambs, that was just a foreshadowing of the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world. And here's what I want you to understand, is that if Jesus would have sinned, it would have affected all of us. And you need to know this. You see, it's real big in our culture. Like, well, I'm my own person. What I do is not anybody else's business. It's just my life. You need to know, when we disobey God, it not only brings trouble in our own life, but it impacts people around us. And not just the things that we do wrong. You see, if we're not fulfilling the things that God wants us to do, there are lives that we were supposed to impact and touch. There are people who would have been blessed by our obedience to God who will not be. If if we're just messing up and missing God, I'm telling you, there are things that were supposed to happen through our life that won't happen. It's so important we overcome temptation. Jesus is our example. Amen. And so the first key to overcoming temptation, he was led by the Spirit. You see, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted, but you got to understand this. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, yes, you'll still be tempted sometimes, but you're going to overcome. We need to learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in our life and always follow his leading. See, yes, there's going to be times when you're tempted anyway, but you're going to be ready for it if you're being led of the Spirit. If we allow the desires of our old nature, you know, that old nature, y'all know what I'm talking about, right? That pull, that desire to go the wrong way, to say the wrong thing, to do the wrong thing. If we allow ourselves to be led by our old nature, we're always going to fall into sin. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, you see, then we can overcome. Jesus walked in the Spirit, and this was his testimony in John 8:29. He says, I always do the things that please him. Wouldn't you like to be able to say that? I always do the things that please the Lord. But here's how. We got to be led by the Spirit. We got to get to the place where we hear that still small voice saying, this is the way. Go this way. We got to get to the place where we are sensitive to that little nudge of the Holy Spirit. Don't do that. Don't do that. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever felt that inside? Something says, don't do that. Some of you are thinking, yeah, I did it anyway. Don't do that. You see, we got to get to the place where we yield to that little nudge, where we listen for that voice. What do you do when you come to a yield sign? I hope that you know when you come to a yield sign, that means that you are supposed to at least slow down and look and see, check both ways and see if it's all right to proceed. This is how we yield to the Holy Spirit. You slow down. Most of us just barrel through life a lot of the time. You slow down and you yield. You give pause so that the Holy Spirit can show you. You check with the Holy Spirit. Is this the right thing? Is this the right, what I'm supposed to do? Is this wrong? And here's the thing. A lot of times you already know down inside. It's whether or not you're going to yield to the Holy Spirit. You want to overcome temptation, you got to be led by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, one of the things that we'll hear if we'll just give pause. Don't say it. Don't say it. You see, a lot of the time people even brag about, well, I just speak my mind. Well, the Bible says, be slow to speak. In James 1:26, it says, if any man thinks himself religious and bridles not his tongue, he deceives himself, and his religion is useless. Yes, we need to give pause to the Holy Spirit before we speak. So often, we sin with our mouths by the things that we say. We got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's prompting. Because it's not just that we don't do this and we don't say that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is prompting us to say something. Tell them. It's time for you to talk to them about the Lord. It's time for you to invite that person to church. Say something. Yes, the Holy Spirit will do that. What if we just slowed down long enough to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I want to tell you so often, if we would do that, he will give us the direction that we need. And he's going to take you away from temptation. And when we're led of the Spirit, you see, we end up being in the right place at the right time with the right people And when we follow that old nature, we end up being in the wrong place at the wrong time with the wrong people doing the wrong thing. You don't go to places where you know you shouldn't go. You don't hang out with people you know you shouldn't hang out with. Preaching good right now. And I know what people always say. Well, you know, Jesus, he hung out with sinners. Well, that's not really exactly right, because the implication of hung out is like Jesus was just hanging out with his crew, one of the guys. That is not the way it was. When Jesus went to a sinner's house, he was there for one purpose, and that was to minister to people. Jesus wasn't just, you know, some people say, well, I'm going to go to the bar and minister to people. If the Holy Spirit leads you to the bar, then you will be able to minister to those people. You're going to speak the word of life to those people under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. But if you're just going because you want to have a good time and hang out with the guys and drink a couple of brews, you are setting yourself up for trouble. That is not at all what Jesus ever did. We got to be led of the Spirit. Amen. You know, if you're a single adult in our world today, they say, well, you know, you're an adult now. You can do whatever you want. Yes, you can. And you live with the consequences of it. You see, if you put yourself in the place of temptation, you know, you go out with somebody and you end up in a place where you are all alone together and nobody's ever going to know. I'm just telling you, you need to be led of the Spirit and be wise if you want to overcome temptation in your life. And here's the real problem with temptation is it's our own desires that cause us to be tempted. That we're tempted because there's a part of us, that old nature, that wants to do whatever it is we're tempted with. Hebrews 11:25 says that there is a pleasure of sin for a season. It's a passing pleasure, but there's something about that it's fun. There's a pleasure there. I mean, if you say that sin is no fun, you're either lying or you ain't doing it right. But here's the truth, though. It brings destruction. And that's no fun. You know, we're going to go to James chapter 1, verse 12 through 15. It says there are some, I'm going to tell you there are some great spiritual truths here. But he says, blessed is the man who endures temptation. You got to overcome it. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. First of all, I want you to see, blessed are those who endure temptation. You overcome temptation, you are blessed. There's going to be a reward. You see, temptation, the sin, can give you momentary pleasure. But obeying God, resisting, overcoming temptation is going to bring lasting rewards in your life. Verse 13, he says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. See, the Lord never sets us up to fail. He's not glorified by our failure. He's glorified by our obedience and overcoming temptation. Verse 14, each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Yes, there's a pull there. No matter what kind of temptation it is, there's some kind of a draw there that appeals to our old sinful nature. Things like gossip, just talking about somebody else's problems. You know, it's one of those what people consider to be little sins, no big deal. But it's going to bring trouble in your life. It's going to come back on you. Reminds me of a story. I've told this story before, but one lady, she was the church fruit inspector. It was a small rural church, and she kind of took it upon herself. As, you know, she was the church gossip. She was mean-spirited and critical of everybody else. She could always find and fault with people. And she really made a mistake, though, one time when she accused this a new member, George, of being a drunk. She said that she saw his pickup truck parked at the town bar and pointed it out. Everybody would know what he was doing there. So George, he was a quiet man. He didn't say anything. He didn't deny or justify himself in any way. But he drove over to Mildred's house that night. He parked his pickup truck out front, and he left. He left it there all night. So the Bible says in Proverbs 18:8 that the words of a gossip are like tasty morsels. There's something in our human nature that likes it. But I want to tell you, those tasty morsels, they're going to come back up. Yeah. It's amazing how we manage to just kind of go along and excuse sin sometimes and justify, you know. And it's all here's the thing. There's a draw to our old nature. There's something about it. We want to do it. You know, they'll say, drinking is fun. I mean, go to a party. One guy, he says, I had so much fun last night, I can't even remember what I did. This is common. Can't even remember what I did. I had so much fun. And his friend said, well, you were hugging the toilet, and it was really funny, but it didn't seem like you were having that much fun. That's the way sin will do you. But it can bring such destruction in our lives. Verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, it brings forth death. You see, sometimes when we sin, it seems like there's no consequences. But when it's full grown, destruction comes. And it can bring destruction in your relationships, in your finances, in your effectiveness for God in ministry, in every area of your life. So we need to remember this. We need the Holy Spirit to lead us so we can overcome temptation. He'll warn you, and he'll also prompt you to do something sometimes. But we just have to be yielded to him and listen to him. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Next, let's go to Matthew chapter 4, where it talks about the temptations of Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. And now when the tempter came to him. And I want to point out to you what Satan is called here. The tempter. The next time that you're tempted, remember this name for Satan, the tempter. The tempter is trying to get you. He's trying to tempt you. But the second key to overcoming temptation is that we have to be prepared. You know, when people give in to temptation, they find themselves in a mess. They usually say things like, well, I never planned for this to happen. You got to plan for it not to happen. You got to be prepared for temptation because it's going to come. Amen. Don't let the enemy catch you off guard. That's what he wants. He wants to catch you off guard where you weren't even aware that something was happening. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Are you aware that you have an adversary? And he wants to mess your life up. Be sober, be vigilant. That means that we need to be clear-headed. You need to use your brain. And he says, be vigilant. In other words, we're always ready. We're always alert. We don't get caught off guard by the enemy. Jesus was prepared. He wasn't just in the wilderness. He was led there, and he was doing something. He was praying and fasting. You know, when Jesus was about to be taken and crucified, he knew that the disciples were going to go through the darkest time of their life, the greatest trial and testing they would ever face. In Luke 22, 40, he says this, he says, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And here's a real key to overcoming temptation, is we need to be prayed up. We need to pray every day. And the Bible says this, pray without ceasing. In other words, through our day, we need to be praying. Now, I myself have struggled sometimes with driving in the Metroplex. This old country boy, I do just fine out in the country. But driving in the Metroplex, it can be a real battle. And I know for some of you, it is also, some of you have told me. But I want to tell you what makes it a battle you can win. Praying in your car. Talking to the Lord while you're driving. Amen. When somebody cuts you off, somebody does something wrong, you pray. I'm just telling you this, that if you'll be prayed up, you can deal with temptation. You can overcome temptation. Jesus was prayed up, and we need to be. Prayer is how we ask for God's help. Prayer is how we receive strength. Prayer is how we get wisdom from God. And oh, do we need wisdom if we're going to overcome temptation. But you see, part of that is that when we're praying, that's the time that we're most likely to hear His voice and receive direction from the Holy Spirit so we can be led by the Spirit. Next, Jesus was prepared for temptation because He was full of the Word of God. He was loaded for bear or lion, as it were. He's ready for whatever Satan brings against Him. In Matthew chapter 4, every time Satan tempted Him, Jesus responded with, "It is written." Jesus said, "It is written." And then He quoted the Word of God. When the tempter came to Him, He said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But He answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He's full of the Word. In every temptation, Jesus quotes the Word. He says, "It is written." And then He speaks the Word. Every temptation. What if every temptation that you face, you had a word that you could speak out of your mouth? I'll tell you, it will change things. You see, with temptation, Satan always uses deception. He always tries to make it look different than what it really is. He's a master of deception. I mean, he'll try to tell you that there's not going to be any consequences. That doesn't really matter. He'll tell you nobody will ever know. He'll even say, "Well, it doesn't hurt anybody." All kinds of deceptions, 1,000 different ways. But the way that you defeat deception is with the truth of the Word of God. And every time He tempts Jesus, Jesus spoke the Word. "It is written." We want to be like Jesus. Yes. Amen. Well, this is the way our Savior handled temptation. He spoke the Word of God to every temptation. Yes. And I want to encourage you this morning. If there are certain areas where you struggle over and over again, you need to get you a word that fits that temptation and speak it out of your mouth. "It is written." Yes. That's what Jesus did. How can we overcome temptation in a culture that is so sinful? I love this passage from Psalm 119, 9 through 11. "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." You see, it's not just a casual reading of the Word of God, but we get it down in our heart. "Your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." See, you don't go and fight a battle without a weapon. Right. And when the tempter is tempting you, You need to use the sword of the Spirit like Jesus did. And you say, it is written. And you speak the word of God out of your mouth. You got to store it up. You got to have it ready. You know, when you're in the throes of temptation, you're right in the face of temptation. Well, let me just go this one again, all right? Like when somebody did something makes you really mad on the freeway, you can't pull over on the side of the road and go, now let me get me a scripture so I can quote it to the devil. That's not the way you do it. See, when you're out on a date, you don't go, wait a minute, sweetheart, I need to read some Bible real quick. Maybe you should, but that's not the way it usually works, is it? No, instead, you need to have a word already in your heart. You have to be prepared for temptation. When it comes, you're already ready. That's what Jesus did. And I want to tell you, we can overcome. We just need to do what Jesus does. My granddaddy was kind of a hero to me. I just thought the world of him and taught me a lot of good things. And he lived through a lot of hard places. You know, we like to talk about the good old days, but some of them weren't so good, really. My granddaddy was born in 1904, and I want to tell you, the world was a different place back then. There was a lot of hard things about life. And when he was probably about 10 years old, he told me that there was a boy, a bully, that beat him up after school. And he did this like 3 days in a row. Well, nowadays, we'd be calling the police, mom and daddy be down there at the school, we're going to fix this now. And right? Some of you mom and dads, come on now. We'd be all hot, we're going to settle this. But it was a different day and a different time, and things weren't really handled that way back then. And so my granddaddy, he told me, he said, I had enough. He said, I got me a pipe, and I held it behind my back. And when he came at me the next time, I parted his hair for him. And he said, you know what? He never, ever bothered me again. I'm not telling anybody to get a pipe and go hit somebody. What I'm telling you is that we need to get a word. You need to decide, I've had enough of being defeated. I've had enough of this temptation. You get you a word, and when that temptation comes, you just part the devil's hair with the sword of the Spirit. You see, you can win over that temptation if you use the word of God. That's what we got to do, church. And all of us struggle. All of us need this message this morning. Amen. You don't hide the word in your heart for nothing. You're hiding it in there because you're going to use it when temptation comes. Do like Jesus and speak the word out loud. The spoken word of God has tremendous power. I want you to see this. I want you to think about this. I mean, when Jesus was tempted of the devil, the Bible does not say, and he thought to himself, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Thinking to himself. That's not what he did. He spoke it out of his mouth. He said, it is written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And you might think that that just seems weird and religious. Well, let me just remind you who did it that way. Jesus did. And Jesus overcame temptation. And maybe if we quit playing games and do it the way Jesus did. Sometimes you just need to flat speak it out of your mouth. For your own self. That you hear the word of God. But understand this. That angels and fallen angels have to take heed to the word of God. It's so powerful. You know, the Lord knows your thoughts. There's dozens of scriptures that make that clear. We see it in the ministry of Jesus as well. But Satan does not know your thoughts. He can't read your mind. Some people, they're all confused about this. They think that Satan is omniscient like God. No, he is not. He is not all powerful and he's not omniscient. He doesn't know everything and he doesn't know your thoughts. Now, he may know a lot about the way you think by the way you live and the things coming out of your mouth. But he can't read your mind. And you need to make it known to him. When he's tempting you, when the tempter has put temptation before you, you speak that word of God out of your mouth because it has power. Use the sword of the Spirit. Listen, this leather and paper and ink is not the power. It's when it's spoken out of your mouth that it becomes so powerful. When you say, "It is written," it is alive and powerful. See, you find that scripture that speaks to your situation. You got problems controlling your temper, and you say, before you're starting to get mad, you say, James 1:20, the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. I've heard people make all kinds of excuses about how, well, I have a right to be mad. The wrath of man will not accomplish the righteousness of God. Don't change the word, the wrath of man. Your wrath, the wrath of man, will not work the righteousness of God. See, that's how you deal with that. You speak it out of your mouth. You get it right. It's not count to 10. How about instead of count to 10, we quote Ephesians 4:31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And you get through it and you're still mad. This is what you do. Let all wrath and anger and evil speaking, let it be put away from you with all malice. Just keep saying it. I want to tell you, you won't have to quote it very many times, and it's going to help you get move on and get past it. Amen. You know, if you're struggling with gossiping, talking about other people, just remember this one. Oh, my goodness. James 4:11, don't speak evil one of another, brethren. Don't speak evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother judges his brother. If you got a critical spirit and been judging other people, how about we just remember the words of Jesus? What did he say? Judge not. He said, don't judge. Don't judge. With the same measure that you judge, it's going to be measured back to you. You're going to be judged with the same measure that you judge others. Don't judge, he says. And here's one from the book of James. He'll have judgment without mercy who has showed no mercy. I just will tell you, the Bible is full of spiritual truth that will help you to walk in obedience to the Lord and live the way he wants you to live. If you've had trouble with sexual temptation or pornography, it's Matthew 5:28. I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Quiet in here. When you sit down at the computer, first thing you do is you say, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Thank you, brother. Everybody's really quiet right now. It works. It'll work. You find you a word that fits the temptation that you've been dealing with, and you speak it out of your mouth. I'll tell you, in the culture we live in, we don't really call it greed, but there's this desire for more. It's just never enough. We want to be rich. Oh, my. 1 Timothy 6:9, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. I want to tell you, you don't hear that one preached a whole lot. Those that desire to be rich. Some of you right now, you're thinking, I don't know if I want to come here anymore. Those that desire to be rich fall into temptation. We're talking about overcoming temptation, right? They fall into temptation and a snare. But you start quoting that, you start speaking it out of your mouth, and then there's this dissatisfaction with you know, my car is getting old. My neighbor got a new car. We see that there's this brand new phone that just came out. There's always something better, newer, faster. And the Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, be content with such things as you have. You start feeling that, you just quote it out loud. Be content with such things as you have. Why should I be frustrated and dissatisfied? God gives me all things richly to enjoy. Be content with such things as you have. Amen. You see, we can overcome those temptations. Somebody wrongs you and you want to get them back, repay no one evil for evil. Overcome evil with good. Somebody mistreats you, what are you supposed to do? Jesus says, when you're spitefully used, pray for them. Pray for them. In the next temptation, we see Satan use a different tactic. He so often uses this one against believers. Matthew 4, 5 through 7, then the devil took him up into the holy city on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. You see, Satan this time uses a different kind of deception because he actually uses the word of God to try to deceive Jesus. Now, there's times when Satan will change the word of God just a little bit, like he did when he spoke to Eve and he said, you shall not surely die. He just added one word in there, but it changed it completely. In this instance, though, he actually quotes it right, but he's using it wrong. He's trying to get Jesus to put himself in harm's way. And I'm going to tell you, I see this one a lot in our world today where believers foolishly think that God will rescue them even though they have put themselves in a dangerous situation on purpose, not led of the Spirit. They just tempt the Lord their God. But here's what I want you to really get a hold of here. It's not enough for us to just know a few favorite verses or one we saw on a meme online. We need to be students of the Word. There's even a lot of deception that's going on in America's pulpits today, where preachers are pulling a phrase or one verse out of the context of the rest of Scripture and making it say things that God never intended. So you need to be a student of the Word, where you study the Word of God. It's not just for preachers. It's for all of us. If you're going to overcome temptation, you need to realize who you're dealing with. The tempter. He's a master deceiver. And he can even twist the Word of God to deceive you. So you got to know what the Scripture says. And don't get under condemnation if this is new to you. I'm just saying, come on, come on. You can do this. You can overcome temptation. But you need to be digging into God's Word, putting it in your heart so it's ready to come out of your mouth. Verse 8 through 11. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This time Jesus said, get away with you. But he didn't just say, I resist you, Satan. Now I want you to understand, the Bible says clearly, submit yourselves to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Absolutely true. This is how you resist him. You speak the word of God to him. You use the sword of the Spirit. I don't think that the Bible was implying that we just go, I resist you, Satan, I resist you, Satan, I resist you, Satan. Instead, you speak the word of God to him that speaks to that situation, and he's got to go. I'm just telling you, you need to be armed and ready. You need to be prepared. Angels and fallen angels, heed the word of God. Psalm 103, verse 20, bless the Lord, you his angels who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Even demons have to obey his word. When Jesus cast the demons into the pigs, they first said, don't cast us into the dry places, send us into the pigs, because they knew that they had to do what he said. And he cast them into the pigs. They had to go. They didn't have any choice about it. And you need to understand that he has given us authority. When we speak his word, it's powerful. Amen. He says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. How do you have such power? It is the word of God and the Holy Spirit upon our lives. As we speak the word of God, there's great power in it. Amen. You have power over the tempter. Yes. But we got to use it. Satan brought everything he could to try to get Jesus to sin. And he will you. It matters. We know the fate of mankind was on the line with the Lord Jesus. But we need to remember, the tempter comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We got to be ready. I've kept this kind of simple this morning, focusing on just a few key things. And certainly if you're struggling with a particular sin or temptation, there's other things that can help you overcome. Sometimes you need accountability. You need a brother or sister that can help you walk through that battle. But I just want you to hear this morning. It worked for Jesus, and it can work for us if we'll just do the things that he did. One last thing I want to talk to you about, I want to address this morning. It's such a deception of Satan. You know, he's the accuser of the brethren, the Bible tells us. Yes, he will tempt you, but then he'll turn right around and he'll condemn you. He'll accuse you. He'll tell you that you can never win. You need to know that Jesus can set you free. In John 8, 31 and 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You stay in the word. You just keep going to the word again and again and again. He says, you're my disciples indeed. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. In 8:36, he says, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So you need to know this. When the enemy tells you, you can never win, look how many times you've messed up, look how much you need to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When he tries to get you to look at your past, you just need to point to the cross. Remind him of the cross, that on the cross, Jesus, the spotless, sinless Lamb of God, shed his blood that we could be clean, that we could be made righteous before our Heavenly Father. Yes, you can be forgiven. And yes, you can overcome. We have been, Romans 6:18, we've been set free from sin and have become the slaves of righteousness. In verse 11, he says, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, we need to stand on these promises and know that we can have victory and overcome temptation. Stand with me. We're going to pray. I want our prayer partners to come.